Anastasia, Nathaniel, and William in the back, and Alex as well for opening. Good to see everybody out this evening. I don't know if your habit in the, I don't know what your custom is at the end of sometimes Sunday morning. There's a lot of busyness here at the chapel. Sometimes you have responsibilities. I have a few conversations with a few different people. Some are longer and some are shorter. And then when I get in the car with Leslie, we compare notes, you know? Do you ever do that? I had a number of good conversations this morning. I spent a little bit of time talking to Clara Jane Beckard, and I tried to have a conversation with Lainey Sarlo, but she was not interested in talking to me. But I did have a little time with Matthias this morning. I had a little special time with Matthias, and briefly a little bit with Christopher James on the stairs. So I had some quality time with people this morning, but I really do think that's a delightful part of being here on a Sunday morning or wherever you are, just talking to. I tried to have a conversation with Ruth too. But she was more interested in the cup. She had a plastic cup. She was much more interested in the cup. But I tried, you know. But anyways, that's part of the life in a local chapel, and it's actually very beautiful. It's very lovely, and I'm sure many of you also have enjoyed it. And if you do have your Bibles with you, I think I should bring this up here. I want to deal with. See if I can get to. That's the area. I want to deal with. And now on a Sunday like this Sunday, Easter, and often that this would be a theme. I caught a part of the message this morning. Some of the things that Jamie was sort of dealing with, and I enjoyed a little bit of it because as long as I could to be downstairs. But this is a question that I want to take maybe a slightly different vantage point. I'm going to reuse the Word of God to direct us. And here's a question that one might ask themselves: what if Jesus really didn't rise from the grave, or didn't really rise from the grave? Whichever one is that. What about this question? This is an important question. And that's not an original message. I'm sure that somebody has asked that question and constructed a message. In fact, it can't be original, because I'm pretty sure that's the angle that Paul takes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He is asking that question. That's the angle. So this is not an original message. And actually, if you want, or if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and just read a few of the opening verses, because that's really, for the most part, where we'll find ourselves for a little time this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Mark and I talked in it. I don't think I get, we don't, well, this is a grand subject, thinking about the idea of how the very, very sort of foundation of our Christian faith, it all, it hinges on this truth of the resurrection. And you don't have to, if you follow the culture and you're online a little bit, this is a topic or subject that is thrown into much criticism and debate and lots of skepticism, lots of doubters. I mean, this is essential truth. And I trust that our young men and women, those who are growing up, all of us here as believers, we have had to grapple with it or have to think through it. And maybe this morning we're thinking through, what does it mean? What are the implications for it? Well, we'll think a little bit along those lines as well. If you have your Bible, just reading for a handful of verses just at the beginning, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." And then here he is, verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then he appeared to the 12. Verse 6, "And after he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I'm the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Well, we'll read a little bit more of that chapter, but let's just open in for a few moments and just ask the Lord to help us as we look to the Word of God. Lord, we thank you again today for the, you know, we sing about the man of sorrows, and we think about the cross, and we think about all that he endured for all of us here, for mankind, and we think about that horrible death that maybe the world gives a moment to think about, but what we think about, Lord, just as wonderful, just as whatever that all that it accomplished, we think of all that it means that he rose from the grave, that we serve a risen Savior, Father. We look forward to the one day when we will see him face to face. So, Lord, help us as we open your word tonight, and just encourage us as we go into another week, and we pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen. I think this chapter maybe lays out a number of consequences for you and I. In fact, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, there are a number of consequences, and maybe that's the way of thinking about it, and we'll flip all of those things on their side as well. But before Paul lays out that case, he establishes this central fundamental truth of the Christian faith. And here it is, we read it already. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The weight of everything that Christ did, and the weight of everything he said and did, ultimately his death on the cross, rests entirely on the facts of Christ rising from the grave. That's why he says it that way. I put it in bold there. It's the words are important. For I delivered to you as of first importance. He's saying this is bedrock truth. If we don't get this, everything else unravels from this. So that's why Paul is putting the emphasis there. That's how essential this truth. This is foundational truth. He's introducing the object. That's the matter of the preposition he's using is one word, as of first importance, and the and.